We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. This is, of course, the Sunday night show, the Gilcast. You also might be listening to this on the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Football Podcast platform. I'm Davis Maddox, joined by Sammy Reed and Nate Noling. And winning week for myself, winning week for Sammy, not a winning week for Nate, but Sammy, honest to God, I have been tilting since about 12:15. Central time. I mean, just what a terrible day of football, just awful games. Our guys that got there in frustrating ways. Our guys who halfway got there had left. I mean, just Sammy, what a terrible fucking day, man.
I didn't enjoy winning money today at all. And No. You know, even though DFS went pretty good, like the rest of the day was just like complete tilt from like, you know, best ball and seasonal and just, I didn't enjoy any of it. And the games were ass. They were like
straight up. The only good game was the Baltimore Minnesota game. And even that game featured way too much Le'Veon Bell.
Well, that game wasn't even good until halftime. Like,
right.
Lamar was, the first half was brutal. It was a terrible day of football. Obviously I lost, so I'm obviously tilted.
No, but
it was terrible.
Bad. It was terrible. I mean,
this day was so bad that I didn't even enjoy looking at Nate's lineup when he flipped it. And you know, I mean, this should bring us a lot of joy, Nate's lineup. Yeah. I mean, Jesus
All right,
Christ.
So let's go through the team. Sammy wins the three man. You can send him in. You can send him invites. Whirling Dervish. It is the worst name on DraftKings. He scores 127.54. I scored 124.44, and Nate, I think your late swap actually ended up netting you points. Oh, because you got off the Chiefs defense. So
I got off the Chiefs defense. I mean, I probably lost 8 points on a swap, but
Nate,
which
you had to swap.
I made money.
Your team to begin with?
I had the same team that I played, except my three. So it was Lamar, Kamara, Zeke,
Hardman,
Tyreek, T, Landry, Albert, Rondale Moore, and then Chiefs D.
Okay. So you must have just ran good in head to heads then.
Yeah. I didn't make money like profit, but I got back like 40%. I was expecting
to be,
I hadn't even opened up the app. I was expecting like a low 5% back. So now I'm like, man, if I didn't swap, I could have almost made.
You would have been below, like, because what I have pulled up is the massive $50 double up. You would have been below my team, which was a train, and you were below Sammy's team, which was a train. And I also think that just based off looking at ownership, because I told you guys, I saw that Austin Eckler was like 40% owned. So there must have been an iteration of our team, or an iteration of your team, Nate, where it was Eckler instead of Kamara, and then instead of Rondale, I think it was Hunter Renfro. I think that was the other team.
Train team.
Yeah, that's actually way better. Nate, I want you to be honest here. Did Davis talk you into swapping? Like,
yes,
would you have swapped without Davis?
But you 100% should have swapped.
I
I don't know if I'm not going to say if what your swap was good or bad, but standing pat, especially on Tyreek, who is the highest owned player, would have been particularly bad in your spot.
Well, it depends on how down. I don't think you realize how bad the field is.
Yeah,
and
the how scores bad these the scores were really were. Bad. I can
so
I can
I looking back, I probably need to develop a better way to assess like how down I am versus just my feelings and emotion, because I felt like I was dust and needed to swap. And that's probably why Davis is like tilting worked for me. But it like, if I had a more like thorough way of looking at it, I don't think I would have swapped.
These were,
can
these
I throw this out
on...
there? Can I Go throw ahead. This out there? And Davis, I want your opinion on this. You might say it's stupid because you want to like global swap. But a lot of the times, if I'm below
way
the
better
line,
to swap in head-to-heads than the global swap, but no one has the time.
Right. That well, no. Even more than that, if you don't have the time, you're playing a crap load of head-to-heads and you can't go through them individually.
Well, I mean, we had T who could have gotten the bonus at the end. We had Lamar who could have scored another touchdown. Like,
all right, but here's what I'm saying is there are times when I've been behind in cash where I'm not like getting destroyed, but I'm behind. And I will global swap in the double ups.
But not in the head-to-heads?
And not the head-to-heads, because head-to-head, I just don't want to get wrecked. If I get 30% or 40% back, okay, I'll live with it. But it's more binary. You either cash or you don't in all the double ups, in which case you need to get above that line. And
that's what I should have done.
Intuitively, that sounds more intelligent, but it's actually more... You're actually gaining more expected value by swapping in the head-to-heads because there's no duplication issues there. It's either the right choice to swap or the wrong choice to swap in the head-to-heads. And again, you know, it's very unlikely you're going to have the time to go. I mean, it's impossible. You'll not have the time to go through 200 head-to-heads. I mean, what I do is I go through all my games, $20 and above, you know, if I have the 10 minutes or whatever. But the really what you're trying to solve with the late swap is you're not even trying to add more points. You're just trying to solve duplication issues. It's way worse to have an overlapping player in a head-to-head than have a 30% owned player still going in the double ups. Cause then you're just stone drawing dead in the head-to-heads if you're covered.
Yeah. I just treated it like a tournament all of a sudden, and then just thought, okay, the Chiefs and Tyreek are going to be the most owned. What's the best way to get off of them? I looked to San Francisco D and Mecole, because I was like, if Mecole gets a touchdown or two that Tyreek doesn't get, I could jump up on the field 15 points. You know,
but Mecole never scores.
So I know, but the leverage. But he can't.
But he was direct leverage on. He was direct leverage on Tyreek, which was.
I told you what the swap was. I told you what it was.
I mean,
in
retrospect, your swap looks much better, which is just straight swapping Tyreek for Kelsey.
That looks better now. But the other,
I said it at the time. That was the swap.
I know. But there was another one. I needed another spot. I couldn't just go to Tyreek and leave, or just go to Kelsey and leave $2,000 on the table.
Why not?
So who was the other play off of? And then I was looking at like Devonta Smith. So the team was.
What do
like
you mean?
Devonta.
It was then Christian Kirk, instead of Rondo.
I couldn't get to Christian. I had to get to Devonta. It was like $100 difference.
And you couldn't stomach.
And I
Devonta.
Couldn't stomach Devonta Tyreek when I or Kelsey when I probably should have.
It was only a $900 difference from. Tyreek to Kelsey. It was 7.9 to 7K. You just swap them out. You eat the money.
I'm not trying to make Nate hold L's for late swapping because it's an imperfect science because there's so much stuff. But I think in Nate's position, I actually think I would have just straight 1v1'd Debo and Tyreek and hoped that it was enough. I think probably what I would have done.
I just needed to have a more thorough way of figuring
it's
out.
Just, it's hard to do on the fly. The other thing is you have to think about the guys who are going to be pulling ownership. And honestly, we could have been boat raced by the Eckler Renfro 2v2 because Austin Eckler, I did not see this team until it was too late, but Eckler was the second most owned player in double ups. He was 52% owned and he airballed. So that Sammy, that Eckler airballing saved us. If he housed that last touchdown on that last drive, instead of getting tackled at the five. We're this whole day is just a total waste because we
It really would have been a fitting punctuation to the end of this ass day.
And then in terms of like other late guys, I actually don't see Rondale was 15%. Aaron Jones was 14%. It looks like basically all of the ownership was condemned outside of Eckler, Rondale, and Aaron Jones in the Chiefs defense. All of the ownership in cash games was in the 1 p.m. games. So if we would have realized the Eckler Renfro team, it would have been even better for Nate to swap knowing all that ownership was coming in, because, you know, if Eckler tosses up a 28 ball, we're all dust.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Nate's team pre-swap and see what's let's lift up.
Let's go back further than that. And let's go to the discussion that everyone was having in their DFS group chats this morning, which was everyone had Lamar as a lock. Everyone was pretty much playing Elliott and Booker. Everyone was playing Tyreek. Everyone was playing Alberto. Everyone was playing Amari. So, and I won't say everyone was playing T because he was 30% owned instead of 50% owned, but basically it was T, Cooks, Waddle, Landry, and one other guy. Was that it? Or am I forgetting
Renfro.
Someone? Renfro. And then some combination of those wide receivers with Myles Gaskin in that group, and then either the 49ers or the Chiefs defense. And in the end, I ended up going with Gaskin and the Chiefs defense. I didn't feel super strongly about it at the time, other than that I just did not want to play Jarvis Landry. And the difference between Waddle and Gaskin was basically like, if the Dolphins do win this game, Gaskin should get the ball 20 times, which he did. He just was spectacularly unproductive. I literally think he tied Waddle. I think they both got 16.
Yeah. The way I was kind of thinking about wide receiver three is all these guys projected extremely similarly.
They were all within like a point. Yeah.
So it was really like, it came down to more of a feel thing, right? A little more of an art. And the way I kind of approached it was, does this guy that I'm choosing have a realistic shot at the bonus?
Yeah.
No
wide receiver on this slate got the bonus.
Right. So, that's kind of out the window because nobody
Kittle,
got
Kittle
there.
And Patterson, I think, were the only players on the slate that got the bonus.
What an egregious day. But it's kind of why I pulled Renfro and Jarvis Landry out of the pool of guys I was considering, because they just never get there, right?
Landry just literally never gets there. Like the guy like professionally. Oh, you know what? Keenan got 100 yards. How about that?
Obviously.
How about that, buddy?
Keenan really?
Did Russell Gage get 100 yards? It felt like he was close.
No, he didn't. Terabad hurdle.
Yeah, Keenan 12 for 100 on a slate where no one played him.
And of course he got stopped at the half yard line on a play, like Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen. So that was pretty much the 2v2 for everyone was a 5K wide receiver or Myles Gaskin, and then the Chiefs or the 49ers. And then Nate comes in before the slate and Galaxy brains it and says, you know what, I'm not playing these locked in, literally the Mike Davis ass plays of Devontae Booker and Myles Gaskin. You're not going to find a more analogous Mike Davis play than Devontae Booker.
Yeah, I mean, it's just 14 to 15 carries and 3 to 4 targets in the bag. It's just so boring
literally
and nasty.
The most Mike
Nate says,
play.
No, I'm going to Galbrain and I'm going to smash high-priced running backs and fade Amari Cooper.
To be fair to Nate, Kamara on like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday optimals before like all the late news and everything got in and everything got fine-tuned, our top optimals were all Kamara.
Yeah, he was pushing, but I mean, at the end of the day, the issue with Kamara is that his all of a sudden Mark Ingram comes in and Mark Ingram is getting all the passes.
Well, I don't consider that
no,
an issue.
Sammy,
that's
stop
totally
it.
It's
whatever.
An issue.
No, Mark Ingram is not an issue. To me,
the issue was that you had to fade a 5K wide receiver and play one really shitty wide receiver.
It is an issue, yes, though, because early in the year, all they had was Tony Jones, and he was out there getting every pass route and every reception.
I mean, Kamara got four for 54 as a receiver and scored a rushing touchdown. Like, Kamara was fine.
Yeah, he was fine.
Kamara beat his projection.
But if you're paying 8.2 for that projection, then that's bad in and of itself.
Okay. Here's the thing. I my original build going into this morning, like if I just slept through lock or whatever, it was Booker and Gaskin. The more I looked at it, the more I realized these low price running backs are terrible. Like the floor on these guys could be awful. I literally only felt good about like three running backs this week. It was Eckler, Kamara, and Elliott. And those three top price running backs were the only ones that I felt like comfortable playing. And I just made a decision that this wasn't going to be a 3RB week for me at like 11:30. And that decision kind of is what made things go weird. But so it wasn't that I didn't think, or like I love Jarvis Landry. It was, I didn't love these 5K running backs. I didn't feel as good as everybody else.
I just think
why didn't you like Booker?
Stone lock. I just thought Booker was, and I now to be fair to Nate, our projection at Daily Roto was 3 points higher than at ETR and then what Cardi had. And I, for the sake of accuracy, looked at it and thought, okay, well, if I'm that bullish, then maybe I am missing something. But turns out I was right, because he was on pace to have like 33 touches before he got hurt, which I mean, you know, maybe you could argue Devonta Booker, not a very athletic guy, which I'm just going to do this rant right here since we're talking about him. Motherfucker gets to 104 yards, gets a rush, loses 5 yards and hurts his knee on the play, leaves the game with 99 yards. I mean, I this is what I think. I think that if you get the bonus, you should retain it. I don't think that DraftKings should give you the bonus and then take it away. I think that once you have achieved bonus status, you should keep it, because
just checkpoint extended.
Yeah. Oh my God. Because I'm like losing my, by the way, he did it twice. He got to 101, lost, and then got a 3 yard rush and got it back and then lost it again. I mean,
I actually looked at my database, and what I found since 2005 is that when a player gets the bonus and then goes back under, they don't get it back 98.4% of the time. It never happens.
100% of the time they lose it.
It's I love the tilt though. Like, what is my favorite thing is when you lose the bonus
and then with 101 yards, Nate. That's what I love.
I'm so glad. That was the one thing that made my day like somewhat okay. Was knowing Devonta wasn't going to get that.
The fucking questionable to return after losing 5 yards on a run. I mean, just, it's unbelievable, dude. It is he got work. He got 21 carries and I think 5 receptions in this game. Like it was
the same thing for Gaskin, bro. Gaskin got 20 carries and like 4 or 6 targets.
He had 6 for 22 as a receiver.
My question is, I had questions about these guys' ceilings, but their floors I actually thought were fine. I thought
I had to talk myself into Gaskin because of, you know, Ahmed and Laird, and I also thought the Dolphins were going to be terrible on offense in this game, which they were.
I was afraid of the game, and I was right to be, because this game was ass, just like so many other games were. But I mean, especially Booker, man. I mean, Booker, there, like you said, Davis, there was nobody behind him. They didn't have anybody else. Like, it was all Booker
until he got injured. Elijah Penny had one rush until he left the game with the injury.
Yeah, I need to take the L on Booker for sure. But watching that game, I mean, Booker clearly got the workload that I was nervous about and shouldn't have been. But Gaskin, I actually do think people were too high on him. I think with Laird, there were enough questions, especially with two of them.
Well, if he didn't get that touchdown, he would have gotten 20 touches and 10 DK points.
Exactly. And so I really don't think the Gaskin thing was as locky as people think. I thought those 5K wide receivers were a better place to invest than
Gaskin's. But you didn't even do that though. Like in the end, you didn't even do that. You ended up playing Jarvis Landry and Rondale Moore.
Well,
Landry was the worst of that group for sure, because he's Jarvis Landry.
That's right.
Landry's like somehow a shittier version of Keenan Allen.
Oh my God. Yeah. He's like Keenan Allen with really low T. I mean,
in a great game environment where there's no Odell, there's no Kareem, and it's a great game environment. One that was probably the most game stacked game of the slate. Why would you not take the wide receiver?
The most games Baltimore. That game was Baltimore, Minnesota.
Okay, buddy, that was one of the biggest game stacks on the slate. And why wouldn't I take a wide? Like I don't feel too bad about the Jarvis.
The issue with the game environment. Yes, it was good. They scored 57 points in it, but Cleveland isn't throwing the ball if they get up. They're just not doing it. And they got up and they threw the ball 21 times like that. Their leading target guy was Jarvis Landry with 5 targets. Like, it's just,
and you failed to remember that Donovan Peoples-Jones is an alpha and Jarvis Landry is not
Landry
alpha.
Was just Jarvis, born to be a beta. Like Peoples-Jones just steps into the OBJ.
Like
role.
I'm not going to say I didn't consider Landry at all. Cause you could play Landry in the 49ers defense. And really the story of the year for all of us has just been, we've mostly been running pretty good on those 2v2s. I happen to run good on the 2v2 today, but I think your specific 2v2, Nate, of playing Kamara and Rondale over Booker and, you know, pick your 5K wide receiver.
Playing Rondale on this slate, Bubba, was just, egregious.
Okay. You cannot, Rondale and Chase Edmonds were two of the highest upside plays, I thought, at their price points. I wanted to get a ton of exposure to those two. After Kyler and DeAndre were out, AJ Green is out, they're going to put up points in this offense.
Yeah, that's what GPPs are for.
No, at 4-2, Rondale, I thought was, if the Kyler and DeAndre news came out on Wednesday that they were going to be out for sure, Rondale would have been the chalkiest wide receiver on the slate.
That is a false statement.
No, because the 5K guys, Nate, we did this show on Monday morning last week because our schedule was messed up, and we literally opened up the slate and we said, all right, well, Tyreek is 7.9 and Amari is 5.7 and T is still 5K. There you go. We built your wide receivers. Like,
yeah,
those are the guys we played.
Yeah. There's no, oh, Rondale Moore is only 4.2. I got to roll.
By the way, I am losing my patience with T. Higgins. I am about done with this guy's prayer yards. He never gets, I tweeted this today. So he's played in 7 games this year. He's been between 10 and 17 DK points in all of them, except for one where he got 7. So it's just like, what exactly is the point of T. Higgins? Like, what, T. Higgins, what would you say you do here?
He was so close to getting there, and yet he didn't get there. He was so close. He mistimed the jump at the very end. He would have came down with it, got the bonus.
I mean, it hit his hands, dude. It hit his hands.
I mean, it was a tough catch, but like, come on, T. Come on.
It always is close, though. I mean, we are so close with T every time. What was it? He got down to the 1 yard line.
3 yards away from the bonus last week.
He got down to the 1 yard line that one day. I mean, but I'm
I thought we were locked in. He had what, 5 for 57 after the first quarter or something?
Well, Amari Cooper had 2 for 37 on the first drive. We were like, oh yeah, easy game.
Oh my god!
I mean, here was
this day was full of tilt.
The biggest tilt for me was Dallas going down big and
Cooper not getting there,
and Cooper not doing anything, and then the Bengals going down big and them not being able to get any garbage time. There is no worse tilt than when you have exposure to a lineup and they're down like,
and they're doing what you want them to do. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're like, oh, here comes the trash time. Let's go. And it doesn't materialize. It's like, what in the absolute hell? And that was the biggest tilt for me on this slate is like,
they left Zeke in. It was so weird. They were, I don't know why they left Zeke
was in there when he was throwing touchdowns to Malik Turner or whatever.
Oh, but those could have been Amari Cooper touchdowns. Amari just left the field.
He's just like, I'm out. He was just like, I'm out.
Yeah, let Turner go in there and take my shit. Such a beta.
All right, so there was
The Zeke tilt of him like coming in and out. I mean, I guess I honestly, in the end, Zeke salvaging 12 out of this game kind of feels like a minor miracle.
You know what it is?
I thought we were dust with like 7 for him.
Zeke knows that if he goes out and Pollard gets it,
he
his
does.
Career's
he
over.
Knows. He really knows. He knows the second that he leaves the game and is like, I don't know if I can go. And Pollard just is like ripping runs off left. He's like, He is not trying to get Wally pipped.
No, he will get pipped so hard, and he knows it, and he's clinging on with dear life. Like, no, I will not lose my job. And congratulations to him. He came back, got us some fantasy points.
Yeah. But Tony Pollard still looks loads better.
Yeah, Tony Pollard's way better. Yeah.
Did you guys consider, because I do think the other conversation on DraftKings this week in cash was the cheap QBs. Did you guys consider the cheap QBs at all?
Not even for a moment. After Tua was announced out, I didn't see any way to do it.
I did. I thought about it long and hard, Nate.
Yeah, you were like, oh, I got to play Jordan Love, dude.
I was close to Jordan Love in cash.
You know,
I mean,
we haven't even said what you did, Sammy, which was...
Oh, yeah.
So I saw this team too, because this is what Andrew Wiggins played, what you did, which was Nick Chubb and Kadarius Toney over Gaskin and Booker.
Yeah.
The main reason I didn't do it is I was just like, I'm not fading Booker, dude. Like Booker was just a lock for me. Like, if you tell me that my guy's going to be the only active running back on a roster, I'm like, yeah, I'm playing that guy. I did not think what you did was bad, though. And normally I do think playing Chubb is not great. But of course,
I had an irrational love for Kadarius Toney today. That was just so awful. Because Toney, I mean, he got like a target, one target. I just love guys who don't get targets. It's just like a thing that I do that I'm enamored with. But I could have swore Kadarius Toney was going to smash. You know, I just saw him taking the Sterling Shepard role and being uber athletic and just taking it over. And I like Chubb a lot. I know Chubb doesn't get quite the receiving work, but I thought, you know, potentially without Kareem Hunt in there, I know they have D'Ernest, but they're going to use Chubb a little more in the passing game. And the Bengals defense is a false prophet. And I think I probably ran pretty good with Chubb to get that 70-yard touchdown, honestly. Like
pretty good. I mean, you literally outscored any other running back by like 25 points.
Yeah. So that was nice.
We touted Chubb can get a 70-yard touchdown at any time. That's the thesis behind the play.
I mean, it was the thesis. It came through. But, you know, in retrospect, I just didn't love – I thought the upsides of – Booker and Gaskin, I like the floors. I thought the upsides were capped, these dusty running backs on crap teams. And I was like, you know what? I want some guys with upside.
You could have just played Waddle.
Yeah, I know. But I had to have T. Higgins, bro.
I was surprised at Waddle's ownership after the Tua news.
I mean, the guy just gets like 14 targets a game. Like what's there to be surprised? Like he's like fancy Julian Edelman. That's like literally what Jalen Waddle is. He's like Julian Edelman with like more after the catch ability.
Yeah. This slate, I just want to shove it down the toilet. I mean, I literally at 11:30, I think texted you guys and was just like, I don't know what the heck is happening. I hate this slate.
Well, that's what was so exciting to see what you were going to flip over, Nate. I was like, oh, buddy, Nate's going to Nemo Noling and really.
Dude, I had some weird teams. At 11:55, I had a Chase Edmonds, Rondale Moore team.
Wow.
In cash.
Dude,
I was off for today, for like
a little bit. Edmonds was showing in our optimals too, just because as I was messing with stuff and like making sure everything was right. I guess we all kind of got saved not playing Elijah Mitchell with all this stuff. Cause he was projecting his huge cash before.
I think he got there.
Mitchell did pretty good. He caught
five passes, but he had 8 for 30. I mean, that was under the assumption that the 49ers would win the game and they got boat raced.
Well,
talk about that first. I could not believe, I mean, no Kyler.
Arizona's just good. And San Francisco.
No AJ Green, no Hopkins. Edmonds goes out on the third play of the game or something like that. I thought they were just going to get boat raced. And
I mean, James Conner, like the millionaire winner probably had James Conner, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. James Conner looked, I mean, that was unreal. San Francisco just couldn't tackle. Even Eno Benjamin trucked a guy.
Dude, everything about this day was wonky. The Bills lost to the goddamn Jaguars. You know, the Cowboys got boat raced at home. Denver just traded away Von Miller. You know what I mean? I hate to be like Mr. like defensive player, but it's like, what is Denver doing? They have nothing. And they put hands on Dallas. They folded.
It was just a bad day at the office, man. I'm not reading into it.
Dude, they got their asses kicked, bro.
Well, and this, you actually see this stuff happen all the time when a team, they went for it on fourth and one on their own side of the field twice in the first quarter, and they didn't get it both times, and Denver got points as a result of that. I mean, how often does that happen in the team that gives up the points just goes into a shell, right? Yeah. And then they start punting on fourth and one after that. And yeah. Then when you start punting at fourth and one, it's all over for you.
Dude, the Saints lost to the Atlanta Falcons. The Saints lost to the Falcons at home. I know they were trying playing Trevor Siemian and all, but like today,
I
mean, was
quarter up. Let's check. I actually, if this is, this will be a fun on air reveal because I don't know what Mike Davis's stats were today. Sammy, would you like to guess Mike Davis's stats for today?
I'm gonna guess 6 rushes, 15 yards, 1 target, no catches.
9 rushes, 13 yards, 1 target, 2 targets, 1 reception, 5 yards. So he got
pretty good.
2.7 DraftKings points. I believe he fumbled as well.
Yeah. Let me ask you guys this. Why did we not consider Cordarrelle Patterson more? I know he kind of split time last week, but he still got there. He's still getting work in the passing game. Why didn't we go back to Cordarrelle?
Because he was, I mean, it was a bad price. Booker and Gaskin were projected for like the same. Waddle was projected for the same. Just did not seem like the move.
I thought Cordero was okay. I mean,
I thought he was fine.
He projected pretty well.
Yeah, I thought he was okay. I just, man, running back was a mess for me this week.
Also, the Saints are just like a good defense too.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, yeah, you got to be worried about DeMario Davis and
I could not name one player.
Marshawn Lattimore.
No, Lattimore. I know him because he's supposed to be good against Mike Evans.
Cameron Jordan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I actually, so all my tournament teams bricked today because they were all Dak doubles. We didn't even talk about Okuda Buna.
CD.
We didn't even talk about my guy.
Alberto.
Yeah, let's talk some Albert O, because he basically almost outscored Tyreek Hill sans that last desperation hill.
Yeah. I mean, he played pretty much every snap. He left for a little bit. He was second on the team in targets. Like if this game had been competitive or had Denver been forced to throw, he like actually would have smashed, I think. And that's all I have on that.
Yeah. Alberto was just a lock play.
He just never
played. Yeah, you play that in cash. It was an easy fade in tournaments, but in cash, yeah, he was a play.
Yeah, 0% in tournaments.
Oh, I played him in tournaments.
CD was the most disappointing. I mean, the dude got so many air. I mean, I think CD is going to lead the week in air yards in all the expected metrics. And just like, I don't know, this Dallas game was the most frustrating thing in the world to watch.
I mean,
it was not pleasant.
It wasn't pleasant. We should talk about DST for a minute, because I know that DST is kind of just like, oh, who's the cheapest one that fits in there? But I thought the Chiefs honestly were like a markedly better play than the 49ers.
I mean, I felt like the 49ers are a better defense, but like this was the best. This is about the best matchup you can ever get. Touchdown home favorite against quarterback making his first start and a quarterback you don't think is very good. Colt McCoy also not very good, but had Colt McCoy been forced to throw 40 times in this game, you know, we're talking about a much different result. He would have eaten some sacks, probably would have had at least one really bad interception, probably would have been a very similar outcome.
But I think you just hit the nail on the head. Touchdown home favorite against a quarterback making his first start. A guy that was so bad that he couldn't even be the backup last year. He was like third string and like inactive. Like he was, and he was as advertised. Like he was not good.
No, he was not as advertised. He was worse.
He was worse.
The Packers kind of tried to gaslight us. Like maybe he could figure it out, but It's very easy to understand why they're putting up with Joe Rogan's best friend tanking their organization, like, because when the alternative is watching Jordan Love play, you got to stick that toxic relationship out because the outcome is the alternative is much, much worse.
Yeah,
Joe Rogan is
probably going to be the new Packers like athletic trainer next week.
I actually thought like he could do it. I mean, he's got Devontae. I mean, Devontae gets open at will, like just get the ball to Devontae. He's got Aaron Jones, AJ Dillon can run. Like I actually was like, there's a potential that they can actually put up some points here. And I mean, He's just not an NFL quarterback in any sense.
The thing is I thought about like, okay, maybe we'll play Jordan Love. Like I thought about it for all of about 17 seconds. And I just went and looked at some of his college stats. Cause he's a big dude, right? Like he's like 6'4". He's like a big guy. It's like, you know, maybe he'll run a little bit like Lance. And the guy ran for like 400 yards in college. Like I was just like, I'm out. I'm not.
Well, and he had like close to as many like picks as touchdowns. I mean, he's just actively bad.
Not good. Yeah.
He's really bad. Yeah. And that's why I didn't end up playing him, even though the price was, the two things. Number one, there wasn't a lot of high price guys you wanted to pay up for.
Yeah. It would have been to play Adams with Kamara and Tyreek.
Yeah, and it's just like his floor is just like so insanely low. Obviously, this was a big potential smash spot for Lamar, and it was a great game environment, and it ended up being amazing for him. Like, if you didn't play Lamar in cash, you probably didn't get there because not that many quarterbacks.
No, because Lamar was 50% owned, and finally we and he could have had more too because
he went down at the one.
A couple things. He went down at the one. He gave up a rushing touchdown. I can't remember if it was Freeman or Bell. And then he had two passing touchdowns inside the 5-yard line. You know, those are 4 points. You get the extra points for the rushing ones. Like we're talking about, like he could have had like 42, 43 here pretty easy.
For sure. I mean, there. So 50% owned, it means 50% of people did not play Lamar. Those 50% got the blade and they deserved it.
Yeah. I mean, if those 50% of people didn't play Tyreek Hill though.
Yeah. Those 50% of people might have played Josh Allen. I mean, Josh Allen was the other guy that I thought about. But I thought Lamar and Josh were pretty close this week, but I went Lamar.
I don't think
Josh was a bad play.
No, I don't. It's like the Bills just had a bad day at the office. Like you can't take anything away from a loss to the Jaguars, I don't think.
Yeah, all right, except let's your survivor pool.
Let's see. Yeah, that was great. So luckily the team that I put in the contest that we do for this, the big red zone, was my Lamar Jackson team with the Justin Jefferson bring back. Though I think Jefferson literally had a 50-yard touchdown and then had one catch for the rest of the game.
Yeah, they're like, oh yeah, you're doing pretty good. We're gonna not throw it to you anymore. Yeah, that worked real well. We'll try some other things now.
So I played Lamar, Darrell Williams, Devontae Booker, Justin Jefferson, Marquise Brown. Your guy, Kadarius Toney, 1.7 DraftKings points.
Oh yeah. I mean, I'm just happy you got into the positives, man. He was in the negatives until the third quarter.
And then Mark Andrews, you always love a slate that starts out with the Mark Andrews dropped touchdown. Then Brandon Ayuk. And then this team I played the 49ers defense instead of the Chiefs defense. I scored 133. Ooh. And Stoneman cash. Like might have been like the last cashing team.
Buddy, you were alive to a Brandon Ayuk punt return touchdown for the double.
The correlation I was thinking about there was actually that it was probably negatively correlated. But just that was, and you know, 11% ownership. The ownership I thought was decent on this, except for 29% Lamar and 33% Hollywood Brown. Like those are, that's probably bad. Like 33% Hollywood Brown is just not justifiable.
Yeah. I was surprised at how much he got.
I think he was the second most owned wide receiver in the millie.
I was shocked. I did not expect that.
I mean, you shouldn't be shocked though, because Lamar was the most popular quarterback. And so it's like, who are you going to stack him with? Right.
Well, that's what we can get to. Cause I'll tell you, I'll tell you how that stack cannot min cash. I went with a Lamar double stack as well, except I went Bateman and Andrews.
Yeah, that's the sharp way to do it, Nate. I like this.
Everyone knows you got to play Ricard and Duvernay.
That's right. So watching these touchdowns go to Devonta Freeman, Ricard, Duvernay, I was tilting.
It's the worst.
And I have so many snowflakes in this lineup. I then brought it back with Thielen at 4.8%.
Did he catch a pass?
Caught a touchdown.
Yeah, he got a touchdown.
Oh, he caught the touchdown that sent it to overtime.
Lob fade in the corner to Thielen.
I had a Diggs Moss Buffalo correlation, and then finish it off with Zeke and 49ers D. It was
how owned was Zeke?
Zeke was 28.9, but I had so much like, I actually had a lot of Zeke in tournaments because I actually thought Zeke was like,
see, I played all the Dallas passing game, which obviously was terrible.
Yeah.
I thought Zeke at this price was like, I was okay taking him at his ownership because I knew I was getting,
it just felt like an insane price. Like it felt like he should be an 8K guy.
Yeah.
I'm with you. So, I mean, I didn't play any of him because I was playing the passing game, but I did think he seemed strong.
I had like six single digit ownership guys in every lineup, so I wasn't nervous about Zeke at his ownership. But man, even the Buffalo stuff I got wrong. I mean, I had a ton of Zach Moss, a ton of Diggs. So just not a good day for me anywhere.
Yeah.
All right, Sammy, what'd you run?
I did run a Dak double stack in this tournament. I went Dak, Amari, and Cedric Wilson.
I played Cedric Wilson too, but I did it with CD.
Yeah, I had a little Galbraith there because I was like, okay, Jarwin is out.
I'm 100% with you. I think he could have actually had a huge game because in the first half he was out there a ton. I bet his first half snap share was like 80% or something.
Yeah, and whoever the guy was that cucked those two touchdowns, I actually think that was Cedric Wilson's role.
I didn't even know he was on the team. I did not know he was on the active roster.
No, I've forgotten his name already.
Malik Taylor.
But I did that, and I ran it back with Jerry Jeudy. I put Kamara and Chubb in at running back. So I went high-priced at running backs. And then I had Kyle Pitts at tight end. I thought after last week, Pitts would be a really good play because a lot of people wouldn't play him. And he was 1.9%. So that was actually – I'm really okay with that play. I really liked it. Of course, I had Kadarius Toney in this lineup and the 49ers DST. This team scored 108.88. It did not come close to cashing. Snowflake Cooper, Snowflake Pitts, Snowflake Toney, Snowflake 49ers DST. I don't know how Cedric Wilson doesn't have a snowflake. I guess it's just because he was so cheap. But this line
was Cooper.
What was Cooper?
What was Cooper owned?
Cooper was 19.9, 20%.
I mean, I still think that the move with Dak was to play non-Cooper guys, but 19 is fine.
I figured with Cedric Wilson, it would be unique enough, and Kyle Pitts would be super unique. So I wasn't, you know, I didn't think a lot of people would go Kamara and Chubb together. I thought it was a unique construction that had a lot of upside, but you know, these things do fizzle out when you play Kadarius Toney. You just go all in on Kadarius Toney, and you know, results are predictable.
Dude, yeah. What a terrible
dude! It was dude. A terrible day. I don't
can
even want to
talk about the Chiefs. Can we just like watching the Chiefs play football? Like used to like be like one of the highlights of the week. Like even if you're not a Chiefs fan, even if you just like football, like it was just cool to have a team to be like, oh, it's 3rd and 12. Well, they'll probably just get a first down. Like they'll probably just figure it out. And now it's like 3rd and 3, and you're like, oh man, they're definitely gonna have to end up punting here.
It kind of feels like, you know, like you play in like one of these Madden leagues with all your buddies and you do it for a while and you just like boat race them just by like running the same plays all the time.
Yeah,
and
the cheese plays.
Yeah, the cheese plays. And then they figure out how to like defend the cheese plays. And then you're like, you have nothing and you can't move the ball out. Like, that's what feels like.
But how are teams just now figuring this out? Why weren't teams doing this stuff to them last year?
I don't know. Or the year before for 80-yard touchdowns. It's pretty easy, actually.
Yeah, like why not just run the play where Tyreek like shakes off six dudes and scores?
It's bizarre. And Mahomes, I mean, maybe we can get a boots on the ground take from
he's a broken man.
Nobody has the video, but Davis is literally wearing a Kansas City Chiefs official.
Which is literally I can't even believe I'm doing it. I just like happened to be putting a load of laundry in and threw the hoodie I was wearing in and I grabbed the first thing I saw and now I'm bummed out.
I mean, he looks broken. I don't know what to, like from an analytical perspective, there's like I can't explain what's happening other than variance because I mean I don't know, but like watching the game mentally, you can clearly tell these guys don't have the same confidence at all.
So let's talk about moving forward. Is it mentally weak or mentally strong to keep trotting out like Mahomes?
You have to be completely immune to pain at this point to be playing Kansas City Chiefs players. Right?
I probably will. I mean,
yeah. They're playing the Cowboys in 2 weeks, by the way.
The one guy that actually think we might be seeing some signal versus noise is Kelce.
Kelce.
I do think the age model is actually like, I think coming into this year, we actually,
legit concern.
Yeah. So I think Kelce is the one that I actually do think there might be some signal there. But as far as like Tyreek, Darrell, any of these other guys,
I mean, how about another just absolute RB1 workload for Darrell again? I mean, he just gets 20 touches every single game.
He almost got there. I mean, he got two goal line carries and was just short on both of them, and then they popped it to Kelce, and he never sniffed the end zone.
Rest in peace to the Derek Gore spot starters. 3 for 13 on the ground for the Derek Gore spot starters.
Tough
scenes.
Tough.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about the rest of the Chiefs, but Kelce's the one that I actually do think. I think
the most mad I've ever been at football since the game where Mark Andrews got 99 yards with the drop touchdown, which I don't think I'll ever forget, was Mecole Hardman not catching that pass from Mahomes on 3rd and 3, where he just catches it. I mean, he's literally uncovered. No one's there. He's staring Mahomes in the face. They're 5 yards apart from each other. It's just like, what would you say you do here, McCord? What is your job? What is your function on this team if you cannot do this? Like, Odell Beckham better sign with the Chiefs. They need something.
That would be kind of hot. I mean, they got Josh Gordon. Do we get some Josh Gordon love going on or no?
Can you imagine Odell on one side, Tyreek, and like, that'd be something.
It'd just be two fucking guys complaining about how they can't get the ball because their quarterback sucks.
Yeah. 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 I mean, apologies
to Dan Bach, who probably doesn't like us swearing that much on this show, but it's just been one of those days, man. Yeah. I apologize.
So part of the thing is when you watch the tape, right? Mahomes is not taking the easy throws. He's not.
That's actually a pet peeve of mine. Because people say that like, oh, Mahomes has always done that. No, he's never done that. And that's the thing that made the Chiefs crazy, was they were never about being on schedule and completing a lot of passes and stuff. It was all about the explosive plays. It was all about breaking the pocket. And, you know, all the great Mahomes games and plays are these like otherworldly things that no other quarterback would ever try. And now, like, they just don't even want to do that stuff. The big play of the game for the Chiefs was Mahomes breaking the pocket and completing a 13-yard pass to Tyreek Hill. Like, that was the most monumental thing that they accomplished. Like, just unbelievable stuff in a bad way.
Yeah. It's all really bad, man. It's very poor. I'm excited for, you said they play the Cowboys in 2 weeks. No, buddy, that's going to be like the most stacked game of all time since.
Oh, well, I was telling Dink earlier that if it was next week, it'd be everyone to be single digits because everyone won't want to play those stinky guys.
Well, the good news is in a couple of weeks, Travis Kelce will be 5.8 and Mahomes will be 6.8 and Tyreek will be 7.4 and we can play him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, they probably won't decrease these guys' prices at all.
No, Tyreek is still going to be 8K. I mean, he got 11 targets. He was the highest on wide receiver.
I hate drafting playing Tyreek in cash. I just despise it. It's just not a cash play. It just isn't.
No, that is the most mentally weak thing you've ever.
It's not though. It's not.
Guy has like 35 targets the last 2 weeks.
Buddy, surf the game logs. Check him out. He's really high.
Yeah, he's
really
got low. So many targets, dude. What are you all talking time. About?
All the time. I hate it.
No, Sammy, this is a bad take.
The Chiefs, it's just.
I'm tilting.
The Chiefs are playing like Dolphins level offense right now. Like, Tyreek is just fancy Jalen Waddle the way they're playing. It's terrible.
This was the worst slate of the year by far.
Yeah.
This was the worst slate I can remember in.
I mean, the games were bad. No tournament sweats. Cash was just like everyone. Like, there was just a super low scoring slate. Like, 125 was like the double up line. Like,
yeah, it just felt good to not be as bad as everybody else. That was it. There was no success. There was only levels of failure on this slate.
I guess the move was everyone should have just late swapped off Tyreek.
I even pulled up my seasonal teams and got dusted there too. So I think I'm just going to pull up the Bitcoin chart to make myself feel better for the rest of the
T's and P's, dude, went undefeated in the main event today. I think I would have been on like real depression watch if seasonal would have went bad too. You can't have that. All right, guys, it's seasonal depression is setting in for all of us. It's been dark outside here for like 6 hours. I'm going to go take a sad nap and,